Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk, the most unbiased, fact-driven channel on YouTube. First on the docket, a rare glimpse into the secretive grand jury process. Second, disgraced movie mogul gets additional charges. Third, Shia LaBeouf, battery and petty theft charges. What's up with this guy? Fourth, Joel Guy Jr. was found guilty. That didn't take very long. Another school teacher was arrested. Can you guess what it was for? The Florida fishing trip massacre. An update. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the week so that you can decide who's the best dumb criminal of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you first hit that subscribe button, as well as hitting that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live. And as always, leave us a comment and share this video with your friends and family. Now, first, we have on the docket a rare glimpse into the secretive grand jury process. Now, we discussed this the other day. Yet usually don't, and I cannot think of many cases where grand jury proceedings have been released to the public. Normally, the transcripts are released to the attorneys in a particular case if a charge is actually filed or a case is filed. And normally, the attorney is prohibited from even disseminating that information to anyone other than people related with the case. So now, guess what? We have gone to the Attorney General in the great state of Kentucky, and by the time this video gets up, you may already have a portion of the 15 hours of the grand jury proceedings that were released by the Attorney General in the Breonna Taylor case. The recordings cover the grand jury proceedings in various sessions because they don't always meet at one time, but they start September 21st. And through the 23rd, and are parsed into 14 audio files with witnesses' personal information redacted because of concerns that threats may be made to officials as well as to officers. The redactions are only about 3 minutes and 50 seconds of the entire proceedings, and as we just stated, we will have all of these up for you to listen to yourself and for you to decide what should have been charged or anything in the Breonna Taylor case. Next on the docket, the disgraced movie mogul. That's right, we shall not mention his name for the YouTube censors out there, because if you say that name, you get completely demonetized, along with other names as well, as we've discovered. So we'll just refer to him as the former movie mogul. Well, guess what? The former movie mogul, who's previously been convicted in New York, has a case pending in California. Well, guess what? He has more charges. That's right. Two new victims have come forward, according to the district attorney prosecuting the case against former movie mogul. This is the second time that California prosecutors have added at least one charge in the former movie mogul's case. He was originally accused of assaulting two women in separate attacks in 2013. Now, the former movie mogul was sentenced on March 11th to 23 years in prison for his completely inappropriate conduct while he resided in the state of New York. Many, including up to a dozen women, including high-profile actresses, came forward to say that the former movie mogul was a powerful and influential movie producer, and he used his power to help cover up all of his misconduct. Now, the former movie mogul has always maintained that every one of his physical encounters throughout his entire life have been completely consensual, and he maintains the same for the new charges out in California. Next on the docket, Shia LaBeouf. You know, the actor, didn't he star in Holes? I remember seeing that with my kids and thinking, hey, this Shia LaBeouf guy could be pretty big someday. And it seems like what he's doing is getting himself in a lot of trouble. Well, now he's facing two misdemeanor counts related to an incident, allegedly, that took place in June. And we'll give everyone the presumption of innocence, as always, unless and until they are found guilty in a court of law or plead guilty in a court of law. Now, it is alleged in the criminal complaint that Mr. LaBeouf is charged with one count of misdemeanor battery and one count of misdemeanor theft, and that the city attorney is the one pressing the charges. So this is municipal court stuff. So you got municipal court, county court, and then your district court for felony matters. So this is pretty low, but still serious, where you don't want these crimes on your background, for sure. Mr. LaBeouf is accused of allegedly using force and violence against Tyler Murphy in an incident, like I said, that took place back in June, where he allegedly took a hat from the complaining witness. Now, Mr. LaBeouf has had a few run-ins with the law in 2017. He had charges of public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and obstruction after he went on an expletive-filled tirade after he was refused a cigarette by a woman. He pled no contest to disorderly conduct, was found guilty of obstruction, and was found not guilty of public intoxication. He was sentenced to 1 year of probation with credit time served. In 2014, while in New York, where he allegedly was drunkenly disrupted a performance of Cabaret, while trespassing and harassment charges against him were dropped, he pled guilty to disorderly conduct and voluntarily sought treatment for alcoholism. Now, Mr. LaBeouf did go to rehab, and when he was accepting an award at the 2019 Hollywood Film Awards, LaBeouf thanked the officer who actually arrested him in 2017. That's not uncommon when people get arrested to really have a defining moment or hit their rock bottom and actually thank the people that basically threw him in custody or made them realize that, hey, maybe I've got a problem. So hopefully Mr. Shia LaBeouf can resolve this matter short of any kind of jail sentence or anything along those lines. It's not that serious of a case, but clearly he needs to start making some better decisions out there, and hopefully he won't get in trouble yet again. Let's take a quick recess. Do you know what we're doing right now? That's right. I'm actually waiting for a background search to be completed. We had somebody here at the office, who shall remain nameless, that wanted to run a background check on someone that they were had a friend that was getting close to. So what do? Literally type in the name, bam, and the report is being generated while we wait. And here's the beautiful thing. We're going to get all the information about whether this person is in fact married or not married, information related to emails, phone numbers, and social media, which is always important. And then we're going to get criminal background records. We're going to see if there's any property records, judgments, anything related to marital records, divorce. We'll be able to find that out. All you have to do is go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You can sign up, and when you do, you can anonymously search as many people as you want. It happens all the time. Think about it. You just want to check somebody out. You're not sure of them. You're not sure what they do, where they came from. Why are they interested in somebody? Check it out. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be glad you did. All right, next on the docket, speaking of wanting to know who these people are, you may want to find out in the world whether they're, you know, want to live in their parents' basement. Well, Joel Michael Guy, he's 32, was found guilty as related to the murders in 2016 and dismemberment of his parents. Prosecutors believed and argued to the jury, and the jury was convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Michael Guy Jr. killed the victims after the family had one final Thanksgiving get-together at their home. It was alleged that they were going to tell him that he really needed to get things together and he was on his own. Mr. Guy Jr. had other plans and did some heinous things, as much as boiling his mother's head in a pot. The father sustained at least 42 wounds and the mother had at least 31. Police officers described it as one of the most gruesome crime scenes they had, in fact, had ever seen. Prosecutors believe that the motive was a life insurance policy totaling some $500,000. Mr. Guy Jr.'s sister, Robin White, testified that her parents were going to cut Mr. Guy Jr. off at Christmas. The prosecutors also believe that this was nothing that was spur of the moment, that it had in fact been planned quite extensively. The reason the prosecutors believe that is that the defendant had purchased muriatic acid and food-grade hydrogen peroxide prior to the murders. He also had purchased a lot of Clorox wipes, and then he also purchased extension cords and a timer from Home Depot. The district attorney suggested the timer was used in an attempt to create a fire at the scene so that the bodies would be completely dissolved. Other purchases included a bleach sprayer, a K-bar, which is a Marine Corps style knife, and bins in which to dissolve the bodies. And of course, it's always the defendant's own words that get them. He managed to take a few notes for the planning process, which were ultimately discovered by the police. He faces an automatic life sentence with the possibility of parole after 51 years upon his conviction. That jury only took 2 hours to reach their decision after a week-long trial. Clearly, the evidence was overwhelming as to Mr. Guy's guilt, and now we can all say that he has been found guilty as a matter of law and as a matter of fact that he did the terrible things alleged by the prosecution. All right, next on the docket, another school teacher has been arrested. And can you guess for what? That's right. A now former band director by the name of Edward Klein, and we'll give him the presumption of innocence. Well, he's 50 years old, and he was indicted for 17 counts of gross sexual misconduct and several counts of sexual imposition. And guess what? According to the court records, all of his victims were 12 years old at the time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever thought, maybe it's a little weird that the band director, teacher at the school, who probably lives in his mother's basement at the age of 50, likes to hang out at the school and just really loves those children? Now, I'm not saying everybody who does that is obviously in a position to do bad things, but you really have got to wonder, why? Okay. I've had cases where everyone thought the people were the greatest people as they were taking care of other people's children. And then, of course, one allegation came out, and then there was two and three and four, and it couldn't stop. And as a defense attorney, you always try to wonder why. Well, why were you doing this job? It was the love, the passion. And most of them will say it's for the children. Be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Be very, very afraid. Know with whom your children are being taken care of, even at school. All right? Go to crimetalksearch.com and get that background search. I'm telling you, it is a dangerous world out there. And I know a lot of people live in their little bubbles, and they like to think that nothing bad will ever happen to them. For 25 years, I have represented people accused of doing bad things. I'm telling you from a position of knowledge here, ladies and gentlemen, you must be careful out there. Remember the Florida fishing trip massacre that we talked about a while ago? That's right. A grand jury now has formally charged 26-year-old Tony T.J. Wiggins Jr. for the death of Brandon Rollins, Kevin Springfield, and Damian Tillman. They were all found beaten and shot to death on July 17th at Lake Streety, which is about 70 miles east of Tampa. The Polk County Sheriff, a gentleman by the name of Grady Judd, said the three men were massacred. Shortly after the crime, William Wiggins, Mary Whitmore, and Tony T.J. Wiggins were all arrested. The two men are brothers. Whitmore is Tony Wiggins' girlfriend, and all three lived in the area where the crime took place. Now, William Wiggins told the detectives that the three victims passed them on a side road after they left the Dollar General store, and that Tony Wiggins told him to follow the victims, who were in separate pickup trucks. They followed the trucks to Lake Streety Road in Frostproof. William stated that he stayed in the truck with Whitmore, and that's when Tony got out and confronted Kevin Springfield, punching him and yelling at him and accusing Springfield of stealing his truck. Brandon Rollins and Damian Tillman got out of their truck, and Williams told detectives he watched as Tony shot all three victims. Then the two brothers put Tillman into the back of one of the trucks. The three suspects then drove to a McDonald's and ordered 10 double cheeseburgers and 2 McChicken sandwiches and went home to eat. It's unclear whether the district attorney will pursue the death penalty in this case, but they have 45 days from the date of arraignment to make that notice made. We'll be watching that case. That sounds something out of a bad, bad movie, and potentially bad, bad people involved, but we'll give everyone the presumption of innocence like we do as always. Now, the moment that everyone has been waiting for, the dumb criminal contestant of the day, so that we can get a recap of our contestants through the week, and you all can decide who is the dumb criminal contestant of the week. And what does the winner get? That's right. A Crime Talk mug. We will find them, we will locate the dumb criminal, and we will send it to them. We've had none returned so far. Now, let's meet Vanessa Lee Jones. What could she possibly have done to get her to be a contestant on the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day? Well, she apparently was outside a 7-Eleven, and it was around 11 a.m. on Wednesday. And for some reason, she thought that she would pleasure herself at the 7-Eleven store. And it turned out to be a felony because she did it in front of a minor. Now, you have to admit, what makes this a little interesting is that the police were able to have video of the incident. You may ask yourself, how did the police get video of this alleged incident? Was it the store video from the security camera? Oh, I think not. Oh, no, no. It was the minor. Remember, this act was done in front of a minor? Well, fortunately, the minor's uncle video recorded the entire incident on his phone for the only purpose of showing it to law enforcement. Thank goodness we have such alert citizens out there collecting things of evidentiary value. That's right. But Miss Vanessa Lee Jones, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now let's do a quick recap throughout the week so you all can get your ballots ready for voting. On Monday, we had Robert Otis Hoskins, the man who wanted to break into the neighbor's house, and when the police arrived, in his underwear, he threw the Bible at the police officers. Tuesday, we had Larry and Jason, who stole a man's prosthetic leg after getting into a dispute with him. Now, who can forget Wednesday? That's right. We had Justin Garcia, who got into a fight, which actually resulted in his cousin being stabbed because they had the all-important argument about the question of whether which milk is better, almond or whole milk. Yesterday, we had Sean Metcalf for assaulting his girlfriend with a piece of pizza, and although completely denying that he had struck her with a piece of pizza, was unable to explain how the pizza was on his girlfriend when the police arrived. And who can forget Miss Jones pleasuring herself in public in front of a minor? But fortunately, the minor's uncle was there to record this thing of evidentiary value so that she could be properly prosecuted. Leave your vote below. We will tally it up over the weekend, and Monday we will declare the winner of the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long week. I don't know about you, but it sure has seemed that way for me. Going to take a little time to rest and relax this weekend, although it never turns out that way, because why? We have a trial on Tuesday. That's right. But we'll still be bringing you Crime Talk every day this week, and we still intend to go live on Tuesday night. Have a great weekend. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. And if you want any of your Crime Talk gear, go to the link below. It'll hit you straight to Teespring, and you'll have your gear in no time. Now is the time to start thinking about those Christmas gifts. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.